And good morning. Hi. Excuse me. See there, I was completely ready to go. Close enough. You know what I just read? I always try to do just a little bit of program preparation before I come on board because, you know, I'm looking for things that I think that you're going to find interesting. And actually, what I'd planned to talk about was calcium just for a moment. And I'll cover that topic in just a moment. But I just read this right here, and I'm telling you, to me, this is tremendous information. And I'm going to ask you, have you ever heard this information before? And, of course, the topic is magnesium. And let me think. Just keep an open mind. And, of course, here's how I want to preface it or build up to it by means of introduction. If I had a nickel for every time that somebody walked through my door and they told me that their doctor chewed them out because they could not tolerate the side effects of a particular drug, I'll just let you fill in the blank. But to me, I'm a very easy sell. Meaning, if somebody tells me they feel horrible since they start taking a drug, or let me turn it around here. Let's just say somebody walks in the door and says, Dr. Morgan, I have been taking this particular nutritional supplement. And of course, now I'm not talking about drugs. I'm talking about a nutritional supplement. And they say, every time that I take it, I'm sick in my stomach. I feel horrible. Well, that's pretty easy to believe. I mean, what would you tell them if you were the physician or somebody that was giving advice to them to try to help them? Wouldn't you at least consider saying, well, maybe you shouldn't take that particular supplement. There's something about it doesn't agree with you. I think most people, they know that there are differences between human beings. Have you ever heard the phrase before that one man's food is another man's poison? Well, I won't go into a lot of examples, but depending on where you grew up in the world, there may be a traditional diet that you're used to eating and that you were raised on. Now, I am not from Okinawa, Japan, but if I were, maybe I would be used to eating more sea vegetables like kelp and seaweed. Maybe. Maybe my mother for breakfast would have made me fish head soup and said, here's your fish head soup, son. Or maybe I would have more octopus and squid. But you know, those aren't common foods for Texas, are they? No. I mean, here, if you went to any restaurant for breakfast, I bet anything you're going to find biscuits and gravy. You're going to find eggs and bacon and sausage offered as menu items. Oatmeal probably is going to be one of the offerings. I mean, sure, of course, they probably offer Fruit Loop cereal. I don't know who would choose that, but some people probably do. You're probably going to find coffee and orange juice, pancakes, waffles, but you get the gist of where I'm going with this. Those would be traditional foods. Of course, maybe we should spend a little bit more time studying cultures around the world that actually have better health than what we do here in America. No, I haven't been motivated to go to the seafood market and look for fresh squid coming in so I can cook it and eat it. Anyway. But I don't have the reference. I can look it up. I don't have it just right in front of me, but just at least listen to this right here. Do you know what the mineral magnesium is? Magnesium, for the most part, is supposed to be found in our drinking water. It is. But what if the water has been treated with things like fluoride? Maybe it has chlorine. I think those have been shown to reduce the magnesium content. Or if they add aluminum to the water, which there's a lot of water treatment systems, that's what they add to the water as a defloculant to make sure that the water looks clearer and brighter and it kind of pops when you look at it, sparkles, as opposed to dirty water. So there's lots of reasons why magnesium might be low, but this just completely shocks me. It says in one clinical trial, magnesium supplementation by pregnant mothers reduced the risk of cerebral palsy by 30%. That's just not a number that you hear every day. I mean, that's a pretty big number. So do you know what cerebral palsy is? let's just say that once a year there's a telethon on TV where they're trying to get people to donate money so they can, you know, spend money on research trying to cure cerebral palsy or make life better for somebody that has it. Well, folks, according to this trial, very interesting. Just a little bit of magnesium taken by a mother while she's pregnant can completely change the outcome or turn the balance toward the child's favor. Who doesn't want a child that's beautiful and healthy? Now, a lot of the stories that I hear, and this is one example, and you may have heard this before, but you know, there's such a thing as a not getting enough magnesium in your diet, and there's probably closer to what I would call optimal. And I really want you to be comfortable with that. So if your physician does a blood test and you're in the normal range on magnesium, but let's just say you're just right there at the lowest level of normal, I probably would interpret that different than anybody else. I'd say there's room for improvement, and I hope you agree with me on that. So if you have a lab test and it shows your magnesium levels are still in normal, but you're at the absolute lowest normal or the lowest range of normal that can be recorded, and if you're just 1/1000th or 1/10000th of a point lower, you would definitely be low. Well, wouldn't your eyes kind of light up when you look at those markers? I actually think that's a pretty good way to look at all blood tests anyway. You don't have to be a rocket scientist or a genius or a brain surgeon. You don't have to spend years of your life studying laboratory analysis. But let's just say that you look at, let's just say there's a number called mean corpuscular volume, or MCV, that's on a standard complete blood counter blood test. So you get your blood test and you look for that one marker called MCV. That stands for mean corpuscular volume. Well, what if your number comes in right at 96? And it says the normal range is between 80 and 96. Now, there's a lot of different laboratories around the world, but there's quite a few laboratories, they don't set that number at 96, they set it at 94, or some even 93. Because back in the 1970s, the average interpretation by your standard general practitioner was if that number was at 96, then you had a pretty severe B12 deficiency. Now, I think B12 is treated like it's a toxic drug. And that's probably a comment that I hear every week from someone. They'll show me their blood test, their B12 levels were a little bit high, and all of a sudden the doctor freaks out and says, stop taking B12. I just don't even understand that. Anyway, let me talk about calcium just for a second. And I've had several people ask me questions about this topic, so I'm going to just try to cover it just real briefly. You know as well as I do that calcium is the most abundant mineral in the human body. If you've walked through a pasture and you've seen the bones of a cow that's passed away, what color are the bones? Well, they're white. Where does calcium belong in the body? Well, ideally, if you're going to have strong, healthy bones, that's where it should be. So what color are bones? Well, they have a whitish color, don't they? Of course, if the sun bleaches them year after year, they're going to be pretty white. Where else does calcium belong? It belongs in the teeth. But I guess the point that I'm getting to is, I think if we can all keep an open mind, you do not want calcium building up in the soft tissue. So maybe the main point that I'm going to get to is, calcium is a good element. You need it. But what happens if we think that we're smarter than God and we start supplementing with a lot of extra calcium? And you know, quite often, the forms of calcium that people supplement with, they're not even natural. Well, I mean, they're natural. They're found in rocks and stone. But where in nature do you see cows licking limestone to get their nutrients? No, they'll lick a salt block with minerals. Anyway, you have probably heard before that magnesium is an electrolyte. That means it contains an electrical charge. Calcium also is an electrolyte. It's probably not as strong or potent as chloride or sodium or potassium, but nonetheless, It has electrical charge. And I've actually devoted a fair amount of my time to studying electrolytes, and I'm going to tell you, I do not know everything about electrolytes. It is a very deep, fascinating topic, but can we just agree that if you have a cow that's given birth and she can't get up, the veterinarian looks like a genius, because what he'll do is he'll come and give the mama cow an, just a, you know, he'll take and draw some calcium into a syringe, push the needle into the cow's hide, give it a shot, and within what, bingo, a minute and a half, the cow miraculously stands up, and you go, wow, this is the smartest doctor I've ever seen. Well, you need electrolytes to control nerve conduction and muscle contraction and all sorts of other things, but for the sake of today, over 99% of all your calcium and magnesium, they belong in the bones and the teeth, not in the heart or the lining of the arteries. If I'm not mistaken, CitraCal and OsCal and OsteoCal are probably the most popular dietary supplements in the entire planet. Anyway, and if I told you that when somebody walks in the door and they bring their calcium with them and say, this is what my doctor recommended, usually the doctor's not recommending 100 milligrams of calcium. No, 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 no. I would say if I had 20 people walk in the door with calcium supplements that their physicians recommended to them, it's probably going to be starting at 1,000, 1,200, 1,500. I've even seen some physicians recommend 2,000 milligrams of supplemental calcium. So what I want to ask is this actually good for us? Okay. Now what I did was I was looking at, I know I'm slightly switching gears, but calcium is not a panacea or an island unto itself. When calcium enters the body, whether it's a tablet that you're taking from, you know, CitraCal or another calcium supplement, it doesn't just go and do what it wants to do. No, 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 no. Your body tells it what to do and how to do it. And one of the ways that your body does that is by using a fat-soluble vitamin, or if you want to call it a hormone, I'm okay with that also. It's called vitamin D. And so, just as simple information, let's just say that you go to your physician and say, I have really heard that vitamin D levels are important. Could you, on this routine physical or lab test, could you test my vitamin D levels? And so that's a pretty good number to look at. So let's use the number 34. I know on the lab test it says anywhere between 30 and maybe 70 to 100 is considered the normal ideal range. But one study demonstrated that if the number was 34 or below, so if yours is at 29 or 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, that means there's nothing you can do to prevent bone loss. That means you're headed toward osteopenia or osteoporosis if that number's 34 below. So that goes back to what I was saying about magnesium. Is there an optimal intake or range where we function better and we have better health? Just like in that clinical trial where they gave pregnant women a little bit of supplemental magnesium and they noticed a 30% reduction in cerebral palsy. Oh, that's phenomenal. Okay? So they noticed that if they can get, if you can get the vitamin D levels above 34, so would you say that 35 is better than 34? Of course. Would you say that 40 is better than 34? Well, yes. And I think I have a feeling that there's going to be some type of optimal number in there. And let me just choose, I mean, there's plenty of room for argument and conversation. Just take all this with a grain of salt. But let's just say that 70 is closer to optimal. And ultimately, vitamin D has its mode of action upon your DNA and your genetic code. So if you have an optimal amount, do you think there's a chance that maybe better commands can take place and better processes can take place and more healing can take place? Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And so what they find is, they find when people with normal levels of vitamin D at a certain level, there's not any benefit at all to taking supplemental calcium. I hate to break it to you, but that seems to be one of the rate limiting steps. So One of the main roles of vitamin D3 is making sure that your body can concentrate calcium from into the blood. And that way it can get to where it needs to go. Now, the real game changer here is vitamin K2. We'll get to that in just a second. Okay, so they've shown that bone mineral density, and that means how thick or how dense your bones are, or and that's what you want. You really want to build these up, kiddo, when you're 13, 14, 15 years old. That way, when you're 85 to 95, you're still going to have plenty of minerals in reserve. You don't want to lose all those. So they're saying that bone mineral density is maximized when your vitamin D levels are around 40. Okay? Most Americans average 20. That's about half of what you need. You know what that means? Your bones are going to lag behind. I don't know if you've ever heard of people falling and they get fracture after fracture after fracture. Not one fall, not two, not three. I sure wouldn't enjoy that. I know you don't either. Now, let me give you a little bit of research right here. One of the roles of vitamin K2, and I think if I'm not mistaken, there's probably eight different forms of vitamin K. Vitamin K1 has something to do with clotting in the blood. But vitamin K2, it has a little bit different role and function. So I want you to listen to this. I'm going to make it real simple. Vitamin K2, see, it's a job of K2 to make sure that calcium goes from the blood into the bones and the teeth where it belongs. So you're probably a step ahead of me. You're thinking, does that mean, Dr. Morgan, if I don't have enough K2, that I'm not going to get the calcium in my blood into the bones and teeth? Yeah, that's what that means. Simple as that. Listen to this research. And I'm just making it real simple. You tell me if this is impressive to you or not. Vitamin K2 supplementation brings about a four-fold decrease in hip fractures. Folks, I don't think there's any drug that the medical profession can give you that will be a 400% decrease in hip fractures. Now, if you can tell me any of the drugs that are given for bone loss that will decrease hip fracture by 400%, I need you to call and tell me what those are. And for all I know, maybe your specialty is osteoporosis. Could you please tell me which drug decreases hip fracture by 400%? Well, vitamin K2 does. That means, are you kidding me? This should be on every billboard in America. Now, get this one. I know that didn't sound impressive. Actually, it does to me. I'm just joking. Did you realize there's a five-fold decrease in vertebral fractures? I started to write a letter to Tony Romo of the Dallas Cowboys explaining that maybe that first lumbar vertebra wouldn't be cracked in half if we had more K2 to help fortify and strengthen the vertebrae. I'm just joking. I haven't done that. But if he calls me, that's what I would tell him as part of the equation. So you know what it means by five-fold decrease in vertebral fractures when you take vitamin K2? That's a 500%. I don't know if you're good with stats. I don't know that I am. But that's a pretty big deal. 500% decrease in vertebral fracture. 400% decrease in hip fracture. Another little tidbit of research, and this is, again, just very simple. Magnesium supplementation has been shown to do a whole lot more than calcium when it comes to bone mineral density. Anyway, I'm going to turn to the dark side just for a second here. And I'm looking at several studies. If you need the scientific reference, I got this from the book called The Perfect Health Diet. And toward the back of the book, actually, that's not correct. Yeah, it is. Anyway, the thing of it is, all this information is being gleaned from scientific journals and it's based on research. So, you know, it makes me wonder, here we have, and everybody that listens to me, they know that I'm extremely biased. I do not deny that. I am very biased toward remedies and therapies that I think are very, very safe and that are natural, that have been around for tens of thousands of years or whatever that number ends up being. I know not, but if you tell me they have these remedies been around for 10,000 years, I would say yes. So they have a proven track record. So yes, I am very, very biased. I am biased toward therapies that have horrible side effects. I'm against those. To me, what, you know, I hear a lot of stories. And I can tell you one of the stories that I hear over and over again, when a person is at the end of their life and hospice enters the scene, and I'm thankful for hospice, but they're literally trying to make people very, very comfortable, and they're trying to ease their pain and suffering so they can pass on a good note instead of writhing in pain nonstop and miserable. But I tell you what, I've seen hospice nurse after hospice nurse just say, could we just go ahead and take the patient off Lipitor or Zocor or Benicar or any statin drug? Of course they take them off of them. They say these are essentially worthless. They're not helping the situation. Let's go ahead and get off of them now. Anyway, so here's the studies. One study found that supplementing calcium increases the risk of strokes and heart attacks by over 30%. Does that sound like anything that's important to you? If you take supplemental calcium, then your risk of death increases by 9%. I would pay attention to that. One analysis concluded, and this is just the short and sweet of it, treating 1,000 people with calcium or calcium and vitamin D for 5 years would cause an additional 6 myocardial infarctions or strokes, and it might prevent 3 fractures. Okay? That's one person's assessment. And of course, a heart attack or premature death is not the only risk of calcium supplementation. Listen to this right here. They're finding out now that when people insist on supplementing with calcium, or physicians and nurses recommend calcium supplementation, that they're finding so many more brain lesions in the elderly. Isn't that interesting? Now, what would that look like? A physician says, so you say that your 75-year-old mother is not remembering and she can't function the way she should. Yes, doctor, that's correct. Let's do a CAT scan or an MRI. Well, what do you do with an MRI that shows excessive plaque building up in the part of the brain that has something to do with memory and recall? And so, would you say that it's good to see calcium building up in the brain? No. I looked at a MRI of a brain yesterday, and yes, I didn't tell the person, but this person knows that I love them, but I saw some calcification in the brain. So for that person, am I going to tell them to go out and get Citracal? Absolutely not. Here's a different study. In the nurse's health study, supplementation of calcium increased the risk of calcium oxalate kidney stones by 20%. That means you're 20% more likely to develop calcium oxalate kidney stones. You know how many people I've seen suffer with kidney stones? A lot. I have zero interest in having a kidney stone several times a year. That would not be my interpretation of fine. So what you're going to do is, when you supplement with when you take a calcium tablet, you are greatly increasing your risk of having kidney stones. Anyway, now this next piece of information, I think it's just very, very interesting. I don't know if you've heard this term before, but there's a term that's used more commonly now than what it used to be. It's called a biofilm. It's almost like a slimy little coating or a cave where very poisonous, toxic, disease-causing bacteria can cause this biofilm. That means if you take antibiotics, they can hide in this biofilm like a little slimy cave or cocoon and not come out and be impervious to antibiotics. It says here that calcium supplementation promotes the formation of biofilm and can actually aggravate infections. Now, to me, this would be very, very interesting. What if a person is on... Actually, let me start over here. Actually, I have a person in mind, but I don't really... I'm not familiar with this person. This is just what I've heard through other people. But let's just say a person has a tailbone infection. And they have been to the wound care center, the physician, the doctors, the nurses, the wound care staff. And this tailbone infection just will not heal and go away. They can't get rid of it. They've tried oral antibiotics. They've tried topical antibiotics. They've tried vacuum cleaning the open wound to get it to drain faster. They've tried topically applying every agent they can think of to, quote, kill the infection, because that's what the real battle is, right? I'll let you be the judge of that. So they give intravenous antibiotics, and of course, what I wonder within my own heart is, have they just completely destroyed this person's immune system by endless rounds of antibiotics? See, I would say over 16 months. There's probably not a lot of strength left in this person's immune system. And I realize I would be the first to admit, if your mother is 68 years old, and she has a case of double pneumonia, and she's going downhill, I'm going to say the antibiotic might be a cure for her. But of course, I want the same thing that you want. I want her to take the antibiotic, and I want there to be such a fabulous response to it that it gives her immune system just enough of a heads up where it can get over the hump, and the immune system can kick in and defeat the organism that's causing the pneumonia. If I told you how many people I have seen over the last 27 years that got a pneumonia vaccine only to develop pneumonia within 2 weeks after the vaccine, I would have a lot of people. I think I've seen more people get the shingles vaccine, develop shingles immediately following that, whereas they'd never had it before. Now, I'll let you just, you know, marinate on that and think about it. But when this research shows that when people take supplemental calcium, and it promotes the formation of biofilms and can aggravate infections, well, I'm not interested in that. So if a person's having chronic infections of the tailbone, would that be maybe where you want to use CitraCal? Probably not. I'm going to give you a radical thought. If you have given the wound care center 16 months to get an infection under control and it's not under control, I'm just going to tell you, brother and sister, it's due to nutrition. I know it makes sense to feed a person donuts and candy bars while they're laying in the hospital bed with an active infection, but that's not right. There's nothing in a donut or a candy bar or in a Coke that can actually feed the immune system so the body can overcome. Now, I don't know if you've ever heard of vitamin C before, but vitamin C has just a little bit to do with how the immune system's able to respond. And if the immune system is lacking vitamin C, or let's just say vitamin A, or even the mineral zinc, it is not going to get the job done. So just consider that a person with a chronic bone infection actually has severe nutritional depletion, and they're sick. And they need nutrients. Anyway, you're not living to please me, but I'm just telling you what I think is very accurate. Next one, those who supplement with vitamin D may develop dangerous hypercalcemia when they're supplementing with 1,200 milligrams of calcium a day. So, the role of vitamin D is to help concentrate calcium in the blood. That can be a good thing. But what if you're taking supplemental calcium that your doctor recommends? That's when it's disastrous. Did you know that vitamin D is never a problem as long as you have plenty of vitamin K2? Let me give you a different idea. It says in the research here that calcium balance occurs when you have a daily intake of 741 milligrams per day. Anything above this, the body has views as an excess, and it's going to try to excrete it in the urine. So if you're like the nurses that are taking supplemental calcium, you can't be shocked if your kidneys have to deal with a whole bunch of extra calcium. And that calcium tends to become more saturated and form kidney stones. But did you realize that this amount of calcium, 741, this is readily obtained from food? And food calcium doesn't seem to be problematic. Have you ever heard of green leafy vegetables? You ever heard of cheese before? You ever heard of yogurt? You ever heard of kale? Sometimes kale is called the king of calcium. Have you ever heard of ocean wild-caught salmon? That's probably a little wordy there. That didn't make sense. Have you ever heard of a fish called salmon? Salmon is generous in calcium. Sardines are. I'm saying sardines for myself because I like those. Have you ever heard of somebody going to a farmer that sells grass-fed beef? And they ask him, hey, what do you do with all the bones once you take your cows to have them processed at the meat packer? And they say, it's funny you should bring that up. I actually have bones for sale. Now, why would somebody that raises cows, especially grass-fed cows, where the cows aren't given antibiotics, or not given a lot of chemicals and hormones, those may actually be very valuable. Have you ever heard of people making soup out of those, and that they have a bowl of soup every so often, they're actually getting one of the best forms of calcium and collagen? Oh, yeah. I know that can be overdone, but I don't know anybody that's drinking a gallon of bone broth a day. If you've never heard of bone broth, maybe you should look into that as a way of getting rich minerals that are in a form that the human body can accept and tolerate. Did you know that over 30% of all the protein in the human body is going to be in the form of collagen? If collagen is the most abundant protein in the body and 30% of all the protein in the body, shouldn't we study collagen? Let me give you some research right here. I think probably the most collagen-based, most popular collagen-based supplements on the earth are going to be glucosamine and chondroitin sulfate. There's another one called hyaluronic acid. But the problem is Americans should be getting this from their food, but they're rarely getting it because all the foods that we're eating are processed. Now, this is not picking on you if you're doing this. I would rather give you information and be honest with you and let you make up your own mind as to what you want to do instead of you saying that, give me some good information, you're not helping me. I want to help. Believe me. Don't you think I want to be able to get behind you and say, way to go, look at what you've done. You've turned this around. Look at your health. And, you know, I have had so many people tell me that this week. Look at where I've come from, Dr. Morgan. I mean, this has been a phenomenal week for me. Yes, I've had my fair share of crises. But the purpose of a crisis is to talk a person down off a ledge. Try to get them to come back to reality. If you can get a person to just be honest with themselves, usually they'll say, I know now what I've been doing is wrong. Like I talked to a person that said, I'm drinking 5 Red Bulls. I should just end my life this week. That is not a fun conversation for me. You know, the only thing that I have, I'm not trained as a counselor. No. I love people, though. I don't want anybody to harm themselves. It took me maybe an hour to get this one individual just to be honest with themselves. And they finally ended the conversation saying, I can't survive without 5 Monster energy drinks a day. Do you think, young man, that these are harming you? They finally said yes. I said, you just need to get off of... He asked me, what do I do? Now, what do when somebody says, what do I do? You tell them what to do, don't you? You don't tell them, do nothing. No! Does everybody agree? Raise your hands. If somebody asks you, and they're desperate, what to do, you tell them. You don't withhold good from somebody when it's within your power to give it to them. So I told him, you go off these things cold turkey. I told him straight up. I said, you have got to give up sugar cold turkey. I know that Bluebell ice cream tastes good. But I sure don't like the way that I feel if I eat it. I called the young man back on the phone to check on him. And he said that his poor rotten sleep that he'd had for 3 weeks was at least 50% better in one night because he refused to drink any more Monster Energy drinks. And when I called him to check on him a day after that, he said he was actually starting to think more clearly now, that everything wasn't quite as dire as what he thought it was. But if you're eating TV dinners as your main source of food, you're not getting collagen at all. And you're not actually getting any living nutrients that are going to do anything to repair your brain or your body. Now, let me just read this to you because I realize I'm rambling at this point, but my heart is to help you, so you tell me if this is good. If they take gelatin, which is not what I'm recommending to you, but I'm just telling you it is a form of collagen, it's just cooked collagen. So if you were going to the grocery store and you see on the shelf Knox gelatin, they did an experiment with rats, and if they just gave these rats a little bit of gelatin to their diet, not a lot, a little bit, guess what happened to their bone mineral density? Their bones became thicker and stronger. You think that's good information? Is there anyone listening right now that needs to improve their bones? You got to remember, folks, your bones are a living organ system. It's not dead. Oh, it's dead if you take Fosamax. Yeah. If you want your teeth to fall out. But what if we try something different? Have you ever heard of the most abundant form of arthritis that plagues the world? It's called osteoarthritis. Listen to this. When people that had severe osteoarthritis decided they would listen to Dr. Roy Morgan, that's not what it says. I threw my name in there. It's true if you listen to me. When they supplemented their diet with collagen, it improved joint function scores of osteoarthritis patients by 33%. Compared to 14% improvement with glucosamine and chondroitin supplements. I think I'm being honest here. Is there a benefit to you consuming glucosamine and chondroitin tablets? Yes, 14% improvement. I know for a fact for some people it's more than that, because that's really, they just need a little bit of help. Is 14% worth something? Yes, of course it is. Is there a benefit? Yes. It's a measurable, perceptible benefit. 14% improvement in arthritis when you take glucosamine. But it doesn't hold a candle to collagen. Because when people take collagen like bone broth, 33%. Which of those numbers do you think that you like the most? We can't escape it. We're all going to die. But do you want to be 60 years old and have a body that can just barely survive arthritis? Oh, I've seen people completely crippled. You have too. Which one do you want to put your emphasis on, collagen or glucosamine? Collagen was 33%. That's a third improvement versus 14%. If you don't want collagen, fine. Settle for 14% improvement. That's good. If you decide in your heart that 14 sounds better than 33, then you do that. Here's another one right here. There is an autoimmune disease where the body attacks the joints. It's becoming increasingly common. It's called rheumatoid arthritis. You're probably thinking, I wish Dr. Morgan would tell me something that's been shown to improve rheumatoid, because right now I just need a little bit of encouragement. I need to see some improvement. And if I start to feel better, that'll give me hope and I'll be moving in the right direction. In a clinical trial of chicken collagen, or using chicken collagen, that means when your wife makes you fried chicken, you eat the rubbery parts off the end of the bones. In a clinical trial of chicken collagen in rheumatoid arthritis patients, 69% of those taking chicken collagen had at least a 20% improvement in swollen joint counts, pain, and function, while 41% had a 50% improvement. You see there, I think studies like this are interesting because they can show you a range of people are variable. No two people are alike. But maybe for that 41% of those that had rheumatoid, I'm telling you, buddy, 50% improvement is pretty significant. So, just think for a moment that maybe collagen, if this is what your body is composed of, don't you want to give your body what it needs to repair itself? Because if you don't give your body what it needs, guess what happens? Repairs are not going to take place. Your body will not heal itself. You'll have a lot of healing undone. Here's another one right here. I don't even know how many people I see that have back pain. I'm just going to say it's just without, I can't even count them. I could if I wanted to, but I don't want to try to do that. I use my energy elsewhere. Everybody that knows me knows that when I have somebody in front of me, that's where my energy goes. Do I have files I need to file away? Yes. Do I have things I need to straighten up? Yes. But I would rather err on the side of one-on-one human contact and let other stuff go. So sometimes it takes me a while to get caught up, but I'm erring on the side of taking care of people. You ever heard of back pain? Oh yeah, I know you have. Supplementation with 1.2 grams per day of collagen reduced lumbar spine pain compared to a control group that had no collagen at all. How much is 1.2 grams of collagen? Let's put it this way, if it was in just a medium large size capsule, that would be it right there. Here's another one that I find interesting. You know, I said earlier your bones are this very viable living organism. Well, your skin is too. And they've shown, and what is your skin made of? It's made of collagen. Collagen, folks. So collagen supplements, guess what they do? They greatly reduce skin damage from summer sun exposure. Do you need to supplement with collagen? You can, but I say no. You need to get in the habit of eating meat on bones. Chicken on bones. Chicken skin, that's collagen. You need to call your friends that have a passion for raising grass-fed cattle or beef. My wife asked me the day, she said, would you shoot a bald eagle for me so I can boil its bones? She did not do that, I'm joking. But she's game. If I brought fish in, she'd boil the bones down and get collagen. If I were to run over a black Angus cow in the pickup, and I'm joking, I'm sorry, it's really not funny, but when you cook bones and add a little bit of vinegar to it, haven't you ever heard of bone broth? I love the stuff. That's probably one of my favorite things about the fall. We're going to have more soups. We've had soup once this week, and it was just as brown can be. I don't know if you like that color or not. But I know what that is, and I know you know what that is. That's highly concentrated bone broth or collagen. Anyway, if you'd like to join me on the radio, I just now caught wind of the time. The phone number here at the station is 903-586-5257. Please feel free to call. I'll gladly take your phone call, and we'll get you right in. And hopefully I can answer whatever questions or comments that you may have. Good morning, and welcome to the program.
Yes, Dr. Morgan, it's Jim McKay. How are you this morning?
I'm doing good. You got to turn your radio down, Jim.
Okay. Got it.
Good.
I went to my doctor, and he wanted to know my prescription without a blood sample. He wanted to look at things.
Well, I lost him. Sorry, Jim. I didn't push any buttons. We just lost our phone signal. So, okay, call back in, 903-586-5257. I was talking to a child on the phone this week, and they accidentally pushed the off button on two different occasions, and they called back and they said, I'm so sorry. I'm going, it's no big deal. It happens. So if you'd like to call me on the radio, there's a phone line once again open at 903-586-5257. Good morning. This is Dr. Morgan. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Dr. Morgan. I've been trying to get a hold of you. Hey, I'm a diabetic, but I'm having bladder problems. Was there an herbal cure for, like, bladder control?
Well,
I don't have to get it into the bathroom.
Tell me what type of bladder problem you're having.
Well, I get up and go to the bathroom about four or five times all night long. And then maybe during the day, if I drink a little bit of water or a Coke or a glass, and like 10 minutes later, I go to the bathroom again and, you know, pass it out. So.
Well, let me tackle this from a couple different perspectives. And I hope I don't confuse you, but do you know what electrolytes are, like potassium,
yes,
sodium, calcium, magnesium?
Yes,
if you lack enough of those nutrients like potassium, That's right. When water just runs right through you. So I know what you're talking about. I've got a bottle of water in front of me right now, and I think I've consumed 1 ounce of it so far. But all if right. I drank the whole bottle, if I have to say, excuse me, sir, I have to run to the bathroom real quick, I can't talk right now, that means I'm low in electrolytes.
Okay.
And so that's what your body's telling you it needs. It needs minerals. I would probably, if I were to say this a different way, I would say every good positive chemical reaction that takes place within your body or cells, it needs right. minerals to work properly. So, one way of doing this is, now this is going to be kind of radical, but this is me, but if I were right. getting up 4 or 5 times a night, I think I would probably get my fill of that after about one night, but this has been going on for a while, right?
Oh, yes, it definitely has, man. Yes.
So let's just say for breakfast today you have 2 eggs over easy, fried in butter with salt and pepper. There's minerals right there, but I wouldn't use just any salt. I'd probably use either Celtic salt because it's very rich in magnesium, or I'd use pink Himalayan salt or something like that.
Okay. Well, I do take a potassium and magnesium vitamin every day.
Well, are they giving you a diuretic at all?
No.
Okay. So I would do that. I would probably eat avocados. Now, the fruit that I would limit, I would give you strawberries, blackberries, cherries, blueberries, raspberries, stuff like that. That's what I would give you.
All right.
But every other form of fruit, I would just completely cut it out. I wouldn't drink coffee all day long, just in case you drink coffee right up until bedtime.
Right.
Do you do that at all?
No.
Okay. But I would focus on eating high-fat meats. The reason why I say eggs are high in fat is because they're 65% fat. That's the dominant calorie they're composed of.
All right.
But I would not eat any grain of any kind. Now, sometimes one of the experiments that I'll have a person do is I'll just have them eat an avocado for supper. I know
all
that
right.
sounds fabulous, maybe. But if you have... Well, I tell you what you could do.
Okay.
What if you had... do you like chicken?
Oh, yeah.
What if you sautéed some chicken in butter or olive oil on the stove and you add spices to it and maybe sautéed onion, bell pepper, something like that, and you just had that and avocado for supper? Tell me if this is the best sleep that you've had in a long time. But
all
usually
right.
I'm having to give infusions of organically bound minerals. And so one option you have is taking alfalfa tablets. They're very, very inexpensive and cheap.
Okay.
No, I did not say that you're a prize-winning steer that needs your cubes of alfalfa from Tractor Supply.
Okay.
But if you take alfalfa tablets, they have a very rich mineral base. Some people do really, really well on those, and so I don't think that can be denied. Another thing that you might look at is just drinking 1 coconut water a day. I know it's got a little bit of sugar in it, but if we can get your blood sugar to come down about 30 more points...
Okay.
Well, you should tell me that you're not getting up 30 times a night. Now,
all right.
Can I tell you what your body is really doing here? Your body is doing everything it can to save you. And so
okay.
that when the body sees blood sugar go up, what your problem is you go to, at the end of the day, you measure your blood sugar and it's 130.
Right.
But when you wake up in the morning, it's 168.
That's true. This morning I did that, yes.
Okay. Well, I'm just making up numbers, but you know where I'm going with this, don't you?
Right.
So, your blood sugar is increasing at nighttime when it should be going down and getting lower and lower because you're fasting all night long. So,
okay.
your body has no other choice. The only choice it has is it's got to send more water to cut the sugar. Now, this is just my analogy. It may not make sense, but you know I'm trying to make a point.
Okay.
If you went to a restaurant and said, I would love to have a glass of your sweet tea, please. And because I want to be healthy, I'd like a wedge of lime or lemon. But if the tea comes back to the table and you take a swig of it and you go, oh, my word, this stuff is so sweet, it's like syrup. I can't drink this.
Right.
Well, how are you going to dilute that sugary? You're going to add water to it or plain tea, right?
Right.
You're going to cut it. That's the same thing that your body's doing all night long. It's flooding water into your blood vessels. It's releasing
okay.
diuretic hormones, so your kidneys don't have a chance. If they're going to keep your blood pressure down, they've got to release the extra fluid that's going in your bloodstream, but your body's trying to cut the sugar. It's trying to dilute it to lower it.
Okay.
So we've got to get the sugar to come down. So you might even try an herb called gymnema.
Gymnema, okay.
It's G-Y-M.
All right.
N-E-M-A. EMA and see if your blood sugar doesn't drop substantially just with that alone. But what I would encourage you to do is you need to eat green leafy vegetables. If you tell me you love the idea of salads, do it. Do it.
All right.
Do it.
My wife and I were talking about that last night, yeah.
Man, I like the way she thinks. She must be a genius.
Pretty close to it.
Is she good looking, too?
Oh, yeah.
Actually, good looking. That sounds like something for a man. Is she beautiful is what I should have said.
Oh, she's the number one candidate for Miss America contest.
Woo, I like the sound of that. So she, but she's probably actually prettier on the inside, too, isn't she?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
If you focused on eating meat and vegetables and salads, you're going to see your fortunes change. The other thing that I would have you do, and this may not sound logical, but I want you to trust me on this.
All right.
Do you work during the day?
No, I'm retired now.
Well, then you have all the liberty in the world to do this whenever you want, but if you were to walk for 10 minutes after every meal, you're going to see your blood sugar drop by 30%.
Okay.
You'll never get a chance to end up in the bloodstream. You're going to burn it off, and actually, the more exercise you participate in, you're teaching your muscles to be like little efficient vacuum cleaners, just sucking the sugar out of the bloodstream. But you'll start sleeping better.
All right. I've been started going to the gym every other day this week. So,
well,
all right.
I think if you can, since you've already paid for the membership, I would just go ahead and go every single day and do something.
All right.
And you'll see your fortunes change. But let me know how it turns out, please.
All right. I appreciate it, Ben.
You're welcome. Appreciate you for calling.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye. All righty. The number here at the station is 903-586-5257. Y'all don't know what's going on here at the station, but I watched one of my kids crawl across the top of the house, the couch. Don't tell Randy. They're like a cat. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Yes, Dr. Moore, I just want to ask you a question if you knew about... Somebody told us about a probiotic, and it's in a kind of like a fruit formula, and it's called Good Belly. And that's what we've been using here lately. Just want to know if you agree with it.
I don't know anything about it, to be honest with you.
Okay. It's got 20,000 per 8 ounces. I mean, 20 billion per 8 ounces, and it's not got no sugar, everything natural.
Well, what I would want to do is I'd want to look at the label in detail, but I'll be the first to admit, any time that a person's taking probiotics, I always think that is a good, good, good thing to do. Very good. You'll get no argument, no complaints from me.
Okay. Well, you get a chance, check it out, see what you think about it.
Where do you get it?
Well, Kroger's where we get it here in the natural food area.
Okay, excellent. Well, if we had a Kroger in Jacksonville, that would be very easy for me to go check out. But I'm trying to think, where's the closest Kroger? Is that Palestine or Tyler?
I don't know. Palestine, I guess, and Kroger and Tyler. But anyway, we also are using some called Lifeway, and it's kefir.
Mm-hmm.
Cultured lower milk smoothie.
You know, one thing that I would be concerned about, and this is going to be me just being very, very nitpicky, so just don't even consider what I'm saying right here. I find that sometimes, I think that kids pretty much do well with kefir, but a lot of the kefir that's made, because of the way they process it and pasteurize it, I think in some people it can cause the blood sugar to shoot up really, really, really high.
Okay.
I don't know if you've ever heard this term before, and I know you have, but there is a term that's used called glycemic index.
Yeah.
And so usually, and what they're doing is they're grading every food that the person could put in their mouth, and they're trying to find out, what does this food do to increase blood sugar levels in the body? So the higher the number, the more stress it puts on the body. So They assign the number 100 to a spoonful of white refined sugar. So you'd say 100 is probably not where you want to be. So if you were to look at things like tart black cherries or, you know, fresh raspberries or blueberries or strawberries, they are going to have what's called a lower glycemic index, probably in the 20s and the 30s. And that's a pretty good number, which means they're very safe to eat and they don't really strain the body. Because anything that causes blood sugar to increase and elevate, you always encourage the growth of toxic microbes in the gut, which is what you're trying to correct by doing all this stuff.
Yes,
and
sir.
So when you look at things like hybrid bananas, well, if you eat a lot of bananas, you know, in a roundabout way, would you agree with me they can, you know, in some people really increase blood sugar levels?
Yes, sir. The good belly is made from fruit juices and mostly berries.
Well, I'm referring to the kefir right now. I'm not talking about the other one.
Yeah,
but that's good, though. I'm glad it's made of berries.
They just got blueberry flavor in it.
Yeah, I just don't know enough about it to really make an intelligent comment. But where I was going with this is if you went to the store and you bought like a slice of Wonder Bread, it might have a glycemic index of 81. You're thinking to yourself, well, you know what? That's just about as bad as sugar. And you'd be right because your body converts that into sugar as fast as possible. So to me, I see no difference. Now, one more point. Have you ever heard of either, do you know what puffed rice is?
Oh, yeah.
So if you went to the store and said, you know what, I'm going to be super healthy, I'm going to eat rice cakes because they're low in fat. All true. Low in fat. True, true, true. But they have a glycemic index of 150. There's nothing that's like puffed rice to cause your blood sugar to shoot up. So you've got Rice Krispies, you've got Rice Krispie Treats, you've got puffed rice cereal, you've got those Rice Krakes cakes, you got Rice Crackers, and I've eaten them back in the 90s, not now. So
you better eat regular rice.
But I find some people, when they get those, I won't mention the name again because I don't want to, but if they get that liquid form of kefir to make a smoothie, there's a lot of new information that shows in some people that causes blood sugar to shoot up. And the problem is, anything that causes the blood sugar to shoot up in somebody that's a little bit weaker is going to cause generous amounts of inflammation. And if a person has a lot of inflammation, I would say good luck feeling like $1 million in healing. They'll always have some little, and I would say too much inflammation is at the cause, is at the root cause of every disease that you can think of, or every problem, or human malady, or suffering. It's just going to be, and I know that you like to ask intelligent questions, so you're going to say, so what's the cause of inflammation, Dr. Morgan? Well, one thing, anything that causes your blood sugar to go up, it makes it increasingly difficult for your body to absorb or get rid of inflammation. Now, a person was asking me the other day, does your back hurt all the time? I said, no, I really don't have pain. But then again, I would say for the most part, I have less inflammation. I'm not perfect, believe me. I could look at myself in the mirror. I don't need anybody to tell me, but if you want to, you can. I've got plenty of room for improvement. So I'm kind of working on myself. I'm a work in progress, but I don't suffer with pain. But then again, I take vitamin C every day, and I also take fish oil every day. There's other stuff I take, but I think those things help bolster my anti-inflammatory defenses. But there's a lot of people, I can't ever get them well if they're on kefir or dairy products.
Yeah.
Because in some people, they represent excessive inflammation. So probiotics good, but I've got to make sure that if you're trying to really change somebody, I know I'm being nitpicky, but you know why I'm being nitpicky, because I want to be helpful.
Yes, sir.
Anyway, that's all I got to say on that topic.
Yeah, the good belly, Dr. Morgan, has cane sugar in it. And so I'm always trying to avoid anything with sugar in it. So that probably wouldn't be good.
Well, I started to read an article this morning about how every human being gets to a point where if they get just even a little bit more sugar than what they can handle, it really very adversely affects the skin and promotes wrinkles and skin damage. And so I sort of cover that topic just a little bit talking about collagen. So sugar is like an anti-collagen food. Collagen is what your skin's made of. Collagen is what the lining of the gut is made of. It's what your muscles are made of. It's what your bone is made of. It's a structural framework of your brain. Anyway, I've already gone past my time this morning.
Thank you, Dr.
I'll let you go, but thank you very much. Bye-bye.